quarter past 8. The Chris Moyle Show. Today with Jamie Oliver. Jamie Oliver. International Radio 1. Right, he's been here for ages, so let's get him in. Here he is, look. It's Jamie Morning. Oliver.
Hello, hello.
Hey, look at him.
Morning. He's lost a bit of weight. Look at that. Morning, Jamie.
How are you?
Hi there, Jim Jams.
Yeah, lovely to see you.
You look very tanned.
I've just got back from
Rotherham,
Louisiana.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
What were you doing there?
I was filming.
Okay.
Yeah, we're doing a we're doing a show in America, not for America, for over here.
For here.
In New Orleans, looking at the devastation and all that sort of stuff from Hurricane Katrina and the latest one. Yeah, it's good.
Oh, what, like a, not a food show then?
Yeah, no, I was cooking all round New Orleans to Louisiana, the whole Creole Cajun cooking thing.
And nice.
Yeah, it was really good.
Was it horrible out there?
It's amazing. The whole, they call it the ninth quarter where the levees broke in New Orleans.
Right.
It's a ghost town, even now.
Really?
Four years later.
Wow.
But yeah, it was good.
Right, well anyway, forget that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about you.
How's it going?
Do you not want to take away your headphones? What's wrong?
I couldn't really hear myself very well.
Hi.
Hi. Oh, that's better.
Is that good?
Yeah.
All right. We're just checking.
Sorry, mate, yeah, I'm just got to twist that knob.
No, that's Dave. I don't know if you've met me.
Hi.
How are you? So, listen. Sir?
Lovely to see you, mate.
And you?
Listen, I watched your show the other day.
Yeah.
The Ministry of Food.
Yeah.
I very much enjoyed it.
Thank you. You sent me a text. I was quite touched.
Yeah, I did. And I really enjoyed it. I sat on the train and watched it. I had a little DVD copy, sat on the train, watched it. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks.
And I enjoyed it for many reasons. I do. I think some of the people on it are brilliant. And they're very likable people. And I think you come across as very well and very honest. And I think you're insane. But good luck to you. And I also think it's a very good idea. Tell everybody what the idea is for those people who haven't seen it.
Yeah, I mean, the Ministry of Food really was I was sort of 5 years after school dinners campaign. We never really got into the home. It was always a lot of the issues that we had were from the home, and it was sort of the Holy Grail, really. And so I was kind of looking for inspiration because obviously, in my job, I get all the statistics. We work with a lot of sort of professors and this, that and the other, and we get all the bad news, and obviously we all read it in the newspapers as well, and I'm thinking about, like, what should I be contributing to doing my bit? And so I was trying to think of new ideas to sort of, you know, get people to understand, because my view is that basically the problem we've got is knowledge. It's,
right.
You know, people aren't taught at school how to cook properly anymore,
right.
You know, et cetera, et cetera. We're all working hard. So, in looking for a solution, I actually looked back to the Second World War when they had this department called the Ministry of Food, and it was 2,500 girls that went around the country, and they went to the workplace. They went all over and basically helped people to sort of live better, really. They just sort of said, like, here's a few skills, try that, and told them how to use their rations properly. So that's, we basically started a Ministry of Food in Rotherham. We've still got it there now. We've got it there till the end of this year, and then the local council have said that they're going to carry it on. And basically what it does is free lessons, free cooking for anyone that needs
help. It's just a little shop thing you've got in town.
Yeah.
So that's there now.
That's there now. And then the other part of the show was this kind of movement that I didn't pass maths, by the way, but on my calculator, I realised as kind of both parents are working these days on average, and we're not really learning key skills at school anymore, I'm like, how can we learn to cook? So I basically did some basic sums, and if you were to teach four of your mates, I was thinking, have I got four mates that can't cook? Yes, I have. Right. If I was to teach them how to make a spaghetti bolognese and get them to promise to teach four of their mates.
Yeah.
If that happened 13 times, that's the population of Great Britain. So that whole sort of exponential growth of people teaching people as opposed to school and all that. So that half of the show is about pass it on, which is a very romantic idea about how we can help each other. But also trying to sort of inspire people to sort of say, if we get amongst it now, then basically our contribution is massive. And if we just sort of keep waiting for the government to come up with a solution, that ain't going to happen.
It's a great idea. Cheers. It really is a great idea.
Why Rotherham?
I went to Rotherham because that is where Julie Critchlow lives. She was sort of famed in the school dinners time.
Mm-hmm.
The lady that was passing the stuff through the bars. I went over there, made friends with her, put our problems to rest. And she helped me to sort of... you know, she just sort of basically show me the ropes in Rotherham, really. I mean, there's been some weird press in the last week, which has been nothing, as far as I'm concerned, nothing. I think some people in Rotherham think that we're there sort of making Rotherham look bad or like numpties. But like, not one of my four shows.
Well, I didn't think that when I saw the show.
No, to be honest, it was a local paper and a local councillor that were just sort of starting. You know what it's like. Once someone says, oh, it's making people look stupid, then they all jump on it. But I can assure anyone from Rotherham who's listening, if anything, you come away thinking, what a great bunch of people with a great verve for life. They're straight talking, no nonsense. And I love my time up there. In actual fact, my third child was conceived up there.
Really?
So, yeah, so you never know if
baby Rotherham.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rotherham Oliver.
Yeah.
Wow.
You never know.
Wow, how romantic.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
If you'd have seen
the
bedroom, well, you wouldn't have said that.
there was no Sky, there's no pay per view. He may as well, you know. Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah. Good news.
Thanks, mate.
How is Jules? How is your lovely lady?
She's good, actually. She's, as opposed to the other two, she's vomiting four times a day, 7, 11, 4 and 7. So she's not great, but she's all right. Yeah, she's just with a bucket a lot.
That's nice. Mm. I've got a bucket.
Have you?
Oh, yeah. Don't talk about your feet again.
Well, no, I've got to put my foot in a bucket twice a day.
Yeah, I heard about this. Do you need it lancing?
No, not at all. It's fine.
I'm quite good at that sort of thing.
Do you want to see it?
Yeah, I'd love to.
No, you don't, honestly.
It's quite good. Put the light on, Rach. I want him to get the full...
Has anyone got any band-aids?
The full effect.
Not big enough.
For those of you who just switched on, this is my manky foot. Okay, so there's two sides to it, okay? There's that side there.
Yeah.
Right? But then, there's that side there.
Oh, Chris, what have you done?
I don't know.
Does it hurt?
No, it's just the itchiest thing in the world. So it's so, and basically, I think I've got some blisters, and I think I've tried to burst them, and I've infected them.
What's the prognosis?
What have I got to do? Or what's the deal?
Yeah, I mean, are they going to operate?
No, they're not going to take it off.
They should do.
It's just an infection.
We should buy him a pair of Birkenstocks or something.
Or wheels. Cream.
Birkenstocks don't suit me.
Yeah, don't worry about my leg.
Yeah, I know. It's more about fashion. No, it's fine. I'll be all right.
Are they sandals? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
They're like posh sandals.
Carrie's got some.
They're very comfortable, and they let the air circulate around.
Which is healthy, isn't it? Especially when you've got an open wound.
Back to the show. I don't know what that fella's talking about in Rotherham, because I watched episode one, and if anything, I think everybody comes out of it fine, and if anything, you come out of it the worst.
Yeah, probably. Well, you should see programme two.
Because you go there and people give you a bit of a kick in and tell you that you're living in dream cuckoo land and you don't understand what it's like, and you go, no, I don't, and then you go away. So actually, I think the people in there come across very well.
Thanks, mate. Well, you know what? My biggest concern out of all of this sort of stuff, as I've told you, I've been away for a week, it's when people start talking rubbish while I'm away and I can't quite...
They always wait until you're away.
But I was just... You know, if the people of Rotherham were upset with what I've made, then that would upset me more than anything. Because at the end of the day, I have to sleep at night. And I'll tell you what, they were... In the 9 months I was in Rotherham, I had a great time and a good laugh. And they were... You know what I love about Rotherham? Whenever you go... if you're filming around London, you know, people are so often insincere because they're sort of taken over by the crews and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. And what I loved about Rotherham is I didn't care one bit for me or the crew, and life continued as normal. So obviously, from a documentary point of view, it was like amazing because basically you saw it as it was. And nice one, Rotherham. And don't listen to all that rubbish that's coming out in the papers. It's not true.
But you know how these things work. It's one person one councillor or one person who hasn't seen it and has heard. This is what they've heard. Jamie Oliver's coming to Rotherham because people in Rotherham are fat and stupid and don't know how to cook. Mm. And he's going to teach them. That's what they think. And they haven't seen the show. So they go, oh, that's an outrage.
Terrible.
Rather than actually going, hey, this is great. Rotherham's going to be on the telly. They're going to put us on the map. They're going to have some of our local people on the telly. They're going to be a star. He's going to use these as an example to lead the rest of the country. They can't look at the positive side of things. They're always like that, the local papers. Yeah, Screw them. Stuff them.
Because the people are there. They're saying, you know, we want your help. We're keen to learn. And admitting the fact that, I mean, like the lady who has a little girl who pretty much... ate takeaways all the time, and she's saying,
Natasha,
I don't know how to cook. I don't know what I'm doing. She's sort of opening herself for advice.
Well, was funny when we did a 15 in Australia in Melbourne, and when we got there and we opened the restaurant and we were working with the young people, the biggest problem we had was heroin because it's so cheap over there, and all the local people kicked up the biggest storm, and often I find that when you get to the truth and the heart of problems, a lot of the locals that live in that area, some of the sort of, actually some of the more pretentious locals are like, that doesn't happen here. There's not a problem there. That doesn't.
Well, it's head in the sand, isn't it? Basically,
yeah. I can't hear you. Can't hear you. Yeah. So I think, you know, it's good, and I think actually, you know, in my first months in Rotherham were actually just sort of watching, learning, and I didn't storm in there with loads of ideas. I think if you watch Programme 2, that is hilarious, because I wanted to go to the jugular. I wanted to go to sort of where the problem was. So I went to the local football match and I got so abused. I got so abused. But did you see Programme 2, Chris?
No, but they keep showing it all the way through Programme 1, which is, for those that we haven't seen it, imagine Jamie Oliver going to a football ground and the person going, "Ladies and gentlemen, Jamie Oliver," and just imagine what people are going to shout. you can imagine it already.
Yeah. All my mates that love football going, "Don't do it. Don't go.
Absolutely.
Don't do it. Don't go."
So you went anyway.
So I went in there with my Miller's shirt on with Oliver on the back. I thought that might help.
It didn't.
No. And then I was cooking steak sarnies. It was so funny because I said, "Yeah, if you boys are interested in cooking, come and see us after the game. I'll be cooking steak sarnies." And then there was this whole behind the goal where all the confident ones are. They're basically saying, "Stick your sandwich up your, you know what, and we love Gordon Ramsay. There's only one Gordon Ramsay." So thanks, Rotherham. But we did have a good time.
Hey, listen, I'm confused. So let's go back to this Australia story. So you went to Australia because they have cheap heroin. And then what happened then? Did you get... I don't understand. You opened up a restaurant in Australia because they have heroin and you can get it for cheap. Are you selling it? Is it on the menu?
No,
is it like when Ramsay goes somewhere and he picks mushrooms on the menu because they have a local mushroom place?
No. When we opened 15s, you've been to 15 in Cornwall, haven't you?
It was lovely.
I've been to 15 in Cornwall and here.
And London.
Yeah.
And it's very nice. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And I know the rest of your crew went to
it. Yeah,
and Asa put a call through and got it all sorted. Yes. And by the way, thanks for going to talk all the chefs because they loved it when you went
there. It was a great night. Thank you for your hospitality.
The reason we went to Cornwall was because it is the most deprived part of England. And with Melbourne, it had some of the biggest sort of young problems. I mean, most of the problems that we've had, a large proportion of the problems that we have with our young people is drugs orientated, be it selling or using or ex-using. And, you know, I mean, certainly in Cornwall, it's mainly dope. In London, it's mainly cocaine. And in Melbourne, it's heroin because it's the cheapest. It's next to Asia. It's so cheap.
And in Rotherham, it's pies.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's many people ODing on pies. You've got to be very careful.
They do a good pie up there, actually, I must say. Yeah. And the other place for good pies is New Zealand.
Really?
Yeah.
You've been to New Zealand? For it.
No, I've never
Ponsonby
been there.
Pies, bro.
Yeah. They're like confused Australians, though. It freaks me out.
No, they're all right.
The thing about Rotherham, though, is, and here's the thing, and anybody listening up north, is when I watched the show the other day, and you get people on there going, "I know it's bad and everything, but, you know, I'm tired. I get home from work. I can't be arsed to cook. You know, it's just easier to just get something delivered while I'm doing something else." You know, so rather than stand down and cook while the food's been cooked by somebody else, I can go and do something else. So it's practical, apart from anything else. Yeah, it might not be the healthiest thing in the world, but it's not, you know.
Yeah, but I think it all does come
back.
Which
I understand that, but I think everybody understands that. I mean, I can't cook.
No, but what you just summed up is the reality. Basically, if you know, it's a bit like saying, you know, if you never had that moment with your friends or your family teaching you how to ride a bike, you'd never ride a bike.
No.
And it's the same with cooking. If you were never shown how easy it is, then you will undoubtedly live a life and pass that on to your kids.
Absolutely.
Of ordering or buying into sort of convenience or options, which, you know, I think, as you saw, there's nothing wrong with takeaways or burgers, but 7 days a week there is.
Yeah.
What about 4 days a week?
I think you could probably get away. I mean, I think three or four is fine.
Is this a friend of yours?
Friend of mine.
Friend of yours who has about four takeaways a week.
No, but what he does, though, is he varies them. So it's not like a kebab every night.
Yeah.
It'll be Chinese.
Yeah.
And one night, pizza.
Yeah.
Another night, Indian.
Yeah.
Another night. And then probably back to Chinese again, but with a slightly different dish.
Yeah. Well, I think that's not so bad.
Weekends don't count because obviously you have to have our kebab.
Hang on, that's 6 days a week then.
But that doesn't count. I'm talking to you Monday to Friday. Well, Monday to Thursday is your four takeaways a week.
Yeah.
And then you've got Friday, you go to the pub and you get a kebab or a pizza or a burger, which you also do that Saturday as well.
Yeah.
Seriously. People are bothering put me to shame.
You could do a whole programme just on you, couldn't you?
I eat so badly.
I know you do.
I just eat so badly. I don't eat a lot, but I just eat really badly. Jamie's book is called The Ministry of Food. Anyone can learn to cook in 24 hours.
That's what you need.
Now, seriously, honestly, I'm going to try it. I looked through it the other day.
Well, you know what I've done? I've got a bag. It's a little fridge bag with all the same ingredients in for every member of the team. You've got basically the sizzling stir-fried beef recipe in there. So tonight, you go home with it, have a little look up, and there's five bags in the fridge. Alid sorted it out. It's in your management fridge.
Brilliant.
Along with all the beers that the management obviously drink a lot of.
Yeah, lunchtimes.
So you can have a little cook-up.
So what have we got to cook?
Sizzling beef.
Yeah, it's nice.
I wouldn't even know where to start.
Yeah, well, it's all in there.
And there's a recipe in here?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, in stir fries.
I've looked at this because I'm like, the best thing anyone can do is, this is genius, because I can't cook at all, and I don't have a clue about it. I don't understand it. So when you say anyone can learn to cook in 24 hours, I'm like, all right then, great, that'll do me. So where will this be under, what is it?
Stir fries.
Stir fries, bruv.
Tasty stir fries.
And then also, I tried to treat the book like an Airfix model, do you know what I mean? So basically, Every recipe's got a step-by-step picture for every...
So it's easy peasy, isn't it?
Right, here we go.
Yeah, it's got a picture for every critical point, if you know what I mean.
Have you got it there? Have you got the recipe?
Yes, chicken chow mein.
Keep going.
Yeah. Sweet and sour pork.
No.
Hardly any prep prawn stir-fry.
Yeah.
Hardly any prep anything sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Sizzling beef with spring onions and black bean sauce.
Perfect.
Is this it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you going to do it? Will you do it tonight?
I'll do it tonight.
Honestly, I'll do it. Yeah, but you can cook.
I know, but I'll still do it.
Because I'm only around the corner.
Now, here's a question.
You can critique it.
Sometimes there are things in dishes which I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
But people say to me, oh, you can't taste them. So can I just leave them out? Like, sizzling beef with spring onions and black bean sauce. I don't like onions, but I do like the idea of sizzling beef and black bean sauce. Without the onions.
Okay.
Can I do that?
Yeah. Yeah. I think the chilli, the ginger is the key bit in there. If you start taking that out, then it starts becoming sort of strange.
All right, well, let's go through the ingredients. Sea salt and... Right, salt and pepper. Rice.
Yeah.
Steak. One thumb-sized piece of fresh ginger.
Yeah.
Where do I get that from?
Supermarket.
Okay. Two cloves of garlic. Half a fresh red chilli, two spring onions. I'm going to take the onions off. Small bunch of fresh coriander.
You don't like onions?
No. Small bunch of fresh coriander.
My wife don't like onions.
I'm going to take coriander off as well, because I don't think Soph likes it. That's a bit all right, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's starting to turn into something else now.
What?
Well, it's going to end up like a fricassee of beef in a minute.
Well, but don't worry.
Language, please.
I don't know what that is. 2 tablespoons of sesame oil and groundnut oil. Let's not worry about that. Our lass has got a bottle of oil. Just put that in the pan, right?
Okay.
Good quality black bean sauce.
Sesame oil gives it a bit of flavour.
Yeah, yeah.
Really? Yeah, but flavour of what?
Sesame oil. Seed.
You can use the sesame oil for something else.
But hang on, gives you the flavour of sesame seed.
Yeah, it's nice.
Sesame seeds are boring to taste, so... Don't worry about that.
Yeah, but it's the cocktail effect.
You should edit with me on this book.
Okay.
Because you cook well, and I'll tell you how to save some money.
You know, like the DVD extras.
2 limes. You ain't going to taste them. Get rid of them. Save yourself a couple of pennies. Yeah. Brilliant. Look at that.
Easy. Well, that's... you know Dexter Fletcher off of Babylon? Hotel Babylon?
And Press Gang.
Yeah, Press Gang, yeah. And Babyface in Bugsy Malone.
That's right.
He phoned me up once, and he's a friend of mine, and... He gave me a rollicking for this recipe not working. And so obviously that's everything that I do, it gets tested 5, 6, 7 times. And so I want to get to the heart of where the problem lies.
Yeah, you're concerned now.
And what I found out was that he was actually merging 2 recipes together.
Oh, really?
Himself. So he basically just did what you did. He sort of took out all the things he didn't like and then bonded it and mated it with another totally different recipe and then wondered why it didn't work.
Yeah, but he's trying to be creative. Leave him alone.
Yeah, but you can't be creative until you can cook.
Look, here we go. Look at this.
Salmon bolognese.
Right, look at this. Sizzling beef with spring onions and black bean sauce.
Yeah,
I like beef, I like black bean sauce, but I don't like onions. Let's flip to the back of the book. Chocolate fruit nut tart. I like chocolate tart, but not so keen on the fruit nut. So here's what I'm going to invent.
That looks nice.
Sizzling beef and black bean sauce with chocolate tart.
This could be a new type of fusion food.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you.
Confusion.
I'm going to be brilliant.
Chris Moyle's confusion food.
Mm. I'm going to cook. We know what we should do. People are saying, can we put the recipe on the website?
Yeah, of course you can. Yeah, you have my total permission.
We have your permission, just the one.
Yeah.
Not all of it.
Put it in the blog.
Yeah, someone else will do that. Don't worry about that.
So just one recipe.
You can have a couple if you want. You have anything you like.
No, just one.
Yeah, they're lovely.
Seriously. And then everybody can do this tonight.
Another kiddie coming. You know, Jill spends money like there's no tomorrow.
I'm so glad she's a Henny's girl, honestly.
What are you doing now?
I'm putting the blog.
You're going to put it on the blog now?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
What, Chris's version or Jamie's?
Put Jamie's on.
Do the proper one.
Chris's version, just take out the onions and stuff that you don't like.
Yeah. Replace it with chocolate. Yeah.
I'll cook that tonight.
Thank you, yeah.
And will I have all the ingredients?
Yeah, it's all in there.
Utensils. What do I need? Run through roughly.
You got a wok?
I think we do have a wok. A wok's like a big frying pan.
Yeah. Round one like that.
Yep.
A spoon, a knife, a board.
Yeah.
And a plate.
Yeah.
Knives and forks.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
God, I'm cooking.
And something to drain the rice.
Colander.
Yeah.
Sophie.
Time for the news.
She drains my wallet. She may as well drain the rice.
Yeah.
Definitely time for the news.
All right. Well, thank you very much. But hang around for a bit because we've got more to
chat
about.
Yeah. Cheers, mate.
You're more than welcome. Jamie's Ministry of Food is on telly on when? What day is it on?
Tuesday night. It's 9:00.
There you go. So tomorrow night, 9:00. There's nothing else on. And the book is out on Wednesday. Is that right?
I think it's out already.
The book is out already.
Mm. We had that last week.
Yeah, I know we did.
He writes these rubbish notes.
Matt Fincham.
He's an idiot.
So the TV show tomorrow. Right, more from Jamie in a bit. If you want to text in, 81199, if you want to join in our cooking tonight. Somebody texted in, they did make a very good point, which was, look, why don't you just cut out the middleman? Jamie goes and makes takeaways healthier. That's just looks like it's going to be easy. You should open your own range of takeaways.
Yeah.
Jamie Oliver's healthy, quick kebabs. And if you throw in delivery, you'll make a fortune. 8:46, Jamie Oliver is here. Yeah. And we're teaching him how to cook.
Yeah. I've picked up a few things. It's great.
Here are some nice text messages. My mate Andy learnt to cook salmon with Jamie on his new show, and he taught me. Thanks, Jamie. Love, Angela.
Oh.
See, pass it on.
Nice one, Angela.
I'm from Rotherham, and I thought the show was excellent. I went into the Ministry of Food on Saturday and picked up some recipes, tried the hot pot. Excellent, says Steve.
Good on you.
See,
good,
it's working. Good.
That's what it's all about.
I bought Jamie's book Saturday for my girlfriend because she can't cook. It's fantastic. She loves it. And is going shopping later. Jamie in Portsmouth. There you go. Obviously shopping for food.
What about the bad text?
I've got it yet. Jamie should do a book for people who live by themselves. One that goes through the week and uses the same ingredients so food isn't wasted. And here's another one. My mate Steve sent me a text saying, has Jamie got any recipes for people with no pans and whose oven is still in the cellophane? He's lived in his house for about 3 years, four years, and his oven...
Is he single?
...is still wrapped, yeah.
See, that's why. Because my mate Andy the Gas Man, he's moved into his house for 9 years now, and he's still got the instructions and a little polystyrene like probe inside it.
Yep.
Lovely clean kitchen.
That's what Steve's like.
Yeah. I think we should do... Actually, in the Ministry of Food in Rotherham, what we're doing is we're doing speed dating in there as well. So we should get up to Rotherham, and we're going to do speed dating nights after 7, where you can learn to cook a dish. So even if your date's not appropriate, you still come out with a dish.
Nice.
Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. He might come out with two dishes.
That's it.
Yeah.
Please can you ask Jamie when his new Italian restaurant in Kingston will open, says Amy.
November.
There you go. Mm. November. I'm 23 stone and want Jamie to come round to my house and help me lose weight. I will keep to it. Please help, says Barry on the M26.
Oh.
I don't think he's driving. I think he's just stuck on the M26. Good God.
Well, I mean, I think one of the things... a lot of the things I've
just
learned...
Just say no. It's fine. Just say no. I can't be bothered.
No, I mean, I'd love to help, but I think one of the...
The thing is, though, if you did go around there, by the sound of it, you wouldn't be able to get up and enter the door. So, you'd be stood outside for ages.
Where does he live?
It's like, no, he doesn't say.
A lot I've learned over the last 5 years...
He might not be fat. He might be 11 foot 2, 23 stone and be good.
Yeah.
You know?
His body weight index will be all right. Mm.
If you were taller, you would be, you know, better index, wouldn't you?
No, I'm not too bad. Totally, I've lost a bit of weight. I'm looking after myself. I've got a purple foot.
Yeah, and I... Are they going to sort you out with that?
They've sorted it out. Yeah, I've got... It's fine, don't worry.
My wife has this cream she puts on her feet at night that makes her feet really soft all over. It's, like, called, like, heel balm or something like that. But, like, you should try some of that. It's, like, really thick KY jelly. It really does. It
I don't want to know about
your
wife
some of that
and
on
KY
there.
Jelly in bed. Come on, man.
Rotherham. Well,
I am looking after. I'm starting to look after myself.
But is it being treated?
I've got. I've got antibiotics. I've got cream, and I've got this dye thing. I've got to soak my foot in. Someone texted in earlier saying they're doing the same thing. I'll be done in a week. I'll be fine.
Oh, that's good.
It's all right.
Do you think it's fungal or just?
I think it's got infected, and I think it could be fungal.
Because I had a little rash on my shoulder once, right? And I it was annoying me, but then. I went to the doctor and said, look, have a look at that, will you? And they give me that stuff that they give women for thrush.
That's nice.
And that sorted it right out.
The thing is, anything that's ever wrong with you, it never sounds good. It always sounds horrible.
Yeah.
So the word fungal doesn't sound particularly nice.
Yeah, it's like you've got new friends.
Well,
yeah, but you keep them for the rest of your life,
I have
though.
A party on my own, just with me and my fungus. Yeah.
I haven't even shown you my fingers yet. My fingers are getting better already, though.
What was wrong with them?
They
went all
really
dry
bad.
And
it looks like eczema.
That cream that my wife uses on the heel thing. I might get Jules to buy you some.
When are you away again? Traveling.
I'm going away this Friday.
Right, I'll pop up to see Jules on Friday.
Okay. Yeah. Show you your heel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bring your fungus with you.
I'll show her my fingers. Oh, that sounds wrong.
No.
Yeah, she's pregnant, Chris. How could you say that?
Sorry about that. Hello, Jamie, love. Chris, can you ask when Jamie his restaurant opens in Bath?
It's open already.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. She's a bit behind the times, that one.
That's from Mark.
Yeah, going today. It's 50% off today.
Why?
Because we don't charge for the first 2 weeks because we're trying to get up to speed.
Wow.
Is that the Italian?
Well, the thing is, it's so busy straight away, you can't charge full price because we're doing 500 covers a day. Mm. So, you know, for the first week, we don't charge at all, just booze. And the second week, we do 50%. And I think it's the first day or tomorrow, it's the first paying day. So get down there.
So hang on, is this a 15 restaurant?
No, Jamie's Italian. Like neighbourhood restaurant.
So hang on, so with the restaurants you've got now, you've got 15.
There's 15, Amsterdam.
And you've got one in London.
At Cornwall, Amsterdam, Melbourne. And hopefully at some point in the near future, Leeds.
And they are really?
Yeah.
And these, am I right in saying, these are the ones where the kitchen are run by hoodies?
It's kitchen run by professionals, but we all the profits go back into training young local kids that need a bit of a break.
So... Not everybody in the kitchen. So are people in the kitchen?
It's 50-50. So, so the way I do the mentoring is to every student is an employed member of staff. And basically what happens is, like, say a grill section, it would take you years normally to be good enough to run a grill section. And what we do is, because these particular kind of young people, a lot of the pattern seems to be that they haven't had a lot of pats on the back throughout their life. So what we do is we get them on a section, and over the course of 3 weeks, we get the professional to run it. And then as he starts pulling off, the student pushes on. And by the end of the 2-3 week period, you've got a student running a section really quickly, feeling really good about himself. So we rotate him around the whole kitchen. There's only about 3 weeks in the year towards the end when the students are totally running it themselves. And we've never ever had any problems. But obviously, you wouldn't do that straight away because they wouldn't know what they're doing.
And these are all hoodlums.
I wouldn't say that. But I mean, I think over the last seven years now.
But all the students are people who need a break.
Generally, yeah.
Right.
I mean, you know, an amount of homeless, an amount of people that have been in problems with the law over many years.
Okay.
But I wouldn't say all of them. But it certainly is a pattern that we're aware of.
Okay.
So
that's 15. And then the other restaurants are what? The Italian ones?
Yeah, and I literally only...
You don't have any of the bad people in them?
Well, no, don't call them bad people. I get done over.
I'm just... I met some of them in...
They love you.
Yeah, they're all very nice.
Yeah.
You were scared that they might have knives, but, you know, it was all fine.
Well,
they all have knives, but
professional knives. Mm. The one we opened in Oxford was about 4 months ago. We... Kingston, the sous chef there, is going to be one of our old students called Dennis, who was in the second year. So they are actually coming back into the fold.
Oh, good. Brilliant.
Yeah.
That's nice.
So get down there when it opens, and we should have a Radio 1 party there. Why don't you have your Christmas party there?
That would be lovely.
Kingston.
I tell you what, I won't charge you for food.
Oh, you make all your money on the booze.
Yeah. No, no, no,
make
no, no, a fortune. No, 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 no. How about this? We'll pay for our own food.
Yeah, and you can pay
for the booze. Yeah.
There you go.
Damn.
That's the winner.
God.
You saw my strategy, didn't you?
Yeah. No, we're not falling for that one. Okay, what else have we got to talk about? By the way, Jamie is also very good friends with Acer, who was the man in the Dave Grohl story, which we recently told in
America. Dave Grohl pavement Brighton thing.
Yeah.
That was the funniest story ever.
Isn't it? It's one of my biggest regrets in life is that I missed that incident.
Well, no, it wasn't a great incident to be there.
Oh, but
it's a great story.
Sounds brilliant. Yeah. I'd just gone to bed, you know, to put our little baby daughter to bed and missed the whole thing.
The only person who found it funny was my mate Dave, another mate Dave who was there. And everybody else was like, oh my God.
It was
the craziest. They should just pin Dave Grohl down to a table. And everybody else felt uncomfortable. Apart from my mate Dave was like that. That's fantastic. I'd had to go inside because he was laughing too much.
Yeah.
So, but everybody else, it wasn't a nice... It's a great story.
It's good now, though, isn't it?
Oh, now it's a killer.
I was telling Chris earlier, because obviously the fact that me and Chris Miles have got the hardest security geezer in the country, you know, ex-Marine, obviously says a lot about me and Chris.
Dave Grohl said in America, he goes, you can always tell how unliked people are by how hard their security are.
It's not like that.
Look, we use him for driving. And he's very good at lugging equipment.
He's good at cooking.
He loves his cooking.
Yeah. And he's nice.
But I was saying to Chris outside, I said, the only time I've ever seen, because Ace has looked after me for many years now, the only time he's actually ever saved me was I was doing a book signing in a certain supermarket, and out of nowhere, this 6'5" lump who looked exactly like, hair-wise and facially, the mad professor in Back to the Future.
Yeah.
And he came... running over people, across kids and prams, and lunged at me with this cauliflower. And all I remember hearing, apart from the muffling of my head, was, "What do you call this?" "What do you call this?"
Yeah.
And then once Acer had like tied him up with his own legs into a chicken position and thrown him out, there was this cauliflower on the floor which had a slightly mouldy stalk. So he obviously took offence to the fact that there was a slightly mouldy cauliflower and felt that I must have grown it.
Obviously.
So yeah, you grow everything that Sainsbury's sell.
Well, yeah, I'm responsible for it all.
When you go to the supermarket, Jamie's out the back with a massive, massive field.
Yeah.
Cattle and
just
everything.
Lugging it all in.
And a lawnmower.
Please let me ready for another hour.
I just remember saying, I only do the adverts. But yeah, Acer sorted that one out as well. So good old Acer.
He's good at that.
Well, everybody must watch the show. It's Tuesday night on Channel 4, 9 o'clock.
Yeah, 9 o'clock. Tuesday's a good one, actually. I like that one. Yeah. It's quite funny. I get some funny abuse. It's great. But anyone from Rotherham, please do not listen to the local papers or that strange MP that gets dragged out for something bad every time something's going on. You'll be really proud of the programme.
Do you know what? Honestly, that's what I said before. I won't worry about it because if... You're putting Rotherham on the map.
I think
you're not taking them.
You very kindly stuck up for me today, Chris, and I think that the people of Rotherham will trust you.
Well, you know, there'll be people in Rotherham who watch the show who are going, well, I don't know what the problem is, so I'm fine with it, so I don't know.
But also, the situation there is just applicable to hundreds of towns all around the country who have the same...
They do in Leeds.
Yeah. Exactly, they do anyway.
The local paper in Leeds does it to me all the time.
And it's not just a northern thing either, is it?
It's not a class thing, it's not north or south, and actually Rotherham's health statistics are below... they're actually below average at the moment. So it's... I'm not even saying it's the most unhealthy part. It's not even that. It was simply because that's where Julie Critchlow... my old nemesis and now new mate is from. So
I never watched any of that school dinners thing because
did
I didn't really understand what it was about, and I thought, well, I'm not at school anymore, it's pointless because I'm not going to benefit. I don't have kids and I'm not at school.
Yeah.
You know, if it was Jamie's BBC canteen dinners, I'd have been all over it like a rat.
Yeah.
But I didn't understand what this Julie Critchlow, what her role was, because they show footage in show one of the Ministry of Food. I'd take it you're obviously trying to get schools to do better food for the kids.
Yeah.
But she's then through the railings, am I right, selling burgers and chocolate?
Well, she said it was tuna salads, but there was sausages and chips and stuff going through as well. But I think what happened was the press brought us together. Like her,
but hang on, I don't get, why was she doing that because she thought you were wrong, or was she doing it to make some money?
Well, actually, when I spoke to her about it, she said what had happened was the school had locked the gates because the kids used to go out and get takeaways and stuff.
Right.
And they'd locked the gates, but they hadn't solved the situation within the school and they didn't have enough seats for the kids to sit down. And she was saying her kids didn't have time or couldn't get access to food.
Right.
So she started off putting food through the railings for her kids because she lived right next door to school.
Right.
And then all their mates were saying, I'll have a bit of this. So what she was doing runs from the local sandwich shop and bringing stuff in. But I think what happened, it was just perfect timing. And for her to get enough height to get stuff through the railings, she had to sort of often stand on a gravestone to get the stuff in a graveyard next door to the school. So what happened was actually...
Hang on. Let me go back. So there's a bird from Rotherham,
yeah,
right, who has got a problem with this, with the whole school dinners thing and her, yeah, kids. So,
and she actually said it wasn't to do with me at all. She, okay, didn't even know me.
So she's then stood in a graveyard handing food through to kids.
Well, originally her kids,
right,
but then because apparently a lot of the kids couldn't get access to food because they were locked in, and,
right,
and the canteen wasn't big enough.
Right.
She started doing about 80 meals a day, I think.
Now, what, is she charging, or was she taking the money?
No, she was just passing the money on. She weren't making any money out of it.
Right, okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think she was... she it sounded like a good business, actually.
You should have backed her.
She'd been quite victimised, I think. I think that she got a lot of grief from the local community, because basically all the press clinged onto it because obviously the pictures were quite iconic, you know,
right,
gravestones.
Well, she stood in the grave with them.
All
with
these,
a, you know.
And if you look back at the pictures, there are all these little hands poking out. And obviously she was put right against me as if we were enemies. So when, okay, I got up to Rotherham, we'd both been quite horrible about each other, and we sort of apologised and actually, you know, and I found out that she can cook and actually that it wasn't her protesting against what I was trying to do. She was just looking after her own kids, and it sort of was just quite timely. But there's actually a picture of her in there.
Yeah, there is. And by the way, I think she, you know... I hope she's forgiven you for calling her a slapper and all of that.
Yeah, no, I was well out of order for that. But
because, well,
I was on Top Gear and I was a bit excited.
It's a joke. You weren't saying she's a real slapper.
No,
let's be honest. You know, a makeover wouldn't go amiss. You know, let's not beat about the bush. So I think what you've done to her in this book, you know, she looks all right.
Yeah, she's actually a lovely girl.
And Julie, if you're listening, love, you look fine. You look cracking.
Yeah, she does a mean braising steak. She does, actually.
It was handy that there was a
graveyard
next door.
I always cooked old-fashioned meals that my mum taught me, but I wanted to spice things up a bit. I was passed on a vegetable jalfrezi curry, which I made from scratch. I'd never done that before, and it's always been out of a jar, not takeaway. And it had butternut squash in it, which surprised me, as I'd never tried it before. It's got a lovely taste.
There you go.
That's Julie there.
That's a quote from Jules. But, yeah, I think I'm seeing her today, actually. We've got...
Are you?
Yeah, she's going to do a few... No, tomorrow. She's doing GMTV tomorrow morning.
With you?
Yep. Yeah.
Lovely.
Me and Jules. I can't... But it's funny, isn't it? Like, 4 years ago, like, as far as the papers were concerned, we were enemies. And then all those years later... I mean, the reason I went to go and see her was because no matter where I was in... If I go and do the David Letterman show, or if I went and did the equivalent in Australia or whatever... Those pictures
would all come back again.
Yeah.
Oh,
and really? Actually, I saw it on News 24 in Australia, BBC Worldwide, and obviously my name was mentioned. Mm. And I kind of got to the point in my life now where every time I hear my name mentioned, I think, oh, God, what have I said now? You know, what have I done now? So I'm always straight up Sparky thinking, what's going on? And
you're
that's
always
when
straight
I first...
up Sparky. Well, there you go. Well, God loves Sparky, and I hope he's doing all right. I haven't seen him for a long time.
Yeah.
Well, look, all good. Enjoy it. And I think it's a great show and people should watch. And for me as well, because I haven't a clue. I seriously, I've cooked twice in my life, and both of those times were on telly.
I saw you on Ramsay's show. You were, yeah, on the F word, weren't you?
And that's all I've done. And that's the only two times I've ever cooked, which is quite a cool thing to say in the pub, that I've only ever cooked with Gordon Ramsay, which is not a lie, it's true. But I have only cooked twice, and I've never cooked since.
Mm.
And what I cooked was easy. Because you just copy somebody else and do it.
But I mean, you have to be up so early for this show every morning, didn't you? So I imagine you're not... What time do you go to bed?
Oh, God, 11:30 at night. Midnight.
Oh, right, so you don't get much sleep then?
Very late.
Do you have a little siesta in the day?
Sometimes, but I try not to. But generally, I get about 5 hours a night.
Yeah.
So I sleep, you know, very little. But, you know, I've got time to make stuff. Because what I find really funny is, and this is from a non, you know, a non, I can't cook at all. But then the reason, if I'm really honest, the reason I can't cook is because I've never really taught myself. I've never sat and tried. Yeah. And what I do find very funny is when, you know, people go, I don't have time. You know, and I know there are people who are very, very busy. And I'll sit there and go, I'm too tired. I'll order something. And I pick the phone up and they say, yes, that will be half an hour to 40 minutes. Mm. And you could cook two dishes in 40 minutes.
Cooked, eaten and washed up in that time.
Yeah. I mean, I think the thing is I suppose the big question that the programme asks is if people know the basics of how to look after himself in the cooking world, you know, just literally 5 or 6 or 10 dishes, you know, can that make a dramatic difference to their family life, their health? And I think, you know, you can see for yourself when you watch the show, but I think the answer is yes. And I think, you know, the reason I think this show is quite timely, I suppose what I'm trying to get out of it, apart from just having a snapshot of Great Britain today, is basically we've got a government right now who going in the right direction for the first time in 40 years to actually saying, right, the girls are at work, right, we're taxing them, and they're talking about putting food back on the curriculum in schools. And obviously, so that's great news, and I'm really pleased with that, but what I'm concerned about is what they're going to put on the curriculum and how they're going to do it, and is it going to be boring or good? So, you know, I think that's why it's quite timely. Fingers crossed, we'll see what happens.
If you go and buy Jamie's book, it's called Jamie's Ministry of Food, Anyone Can Learn to Cook in 24 Hours, and we're all going to go and try a recipe tonight.
And compare and contrast tomorrow.
Yeah, we're
take
all going to do it.
Yeah, take
yeah, no, yeah, that's a good idea.
Will you text me the pictures in the morning?
Yes.
And then I'll
see what you think.
The other thing I was going to say, we've got jamiesministryoffood.com, which is where you can basically up the whole Pass It On campaign. Is you go in and you can upload who you've taught the two recipes, two of your mates you talk to, and then it basically tracks you and your friends and how long your chain is. So, for instance, one of our geezers online in Rotherham has got 188 people on his chain, which is and that's the thing about Pass It On is if all the public have to do is very little. To make a massive difference to the country. So, you know, if you pass on to sort of 2 or 4 people, it's not just, that's all you've got to do, but actually what they do thereafter can be
so
huge.
So this recipe I'm going to do tonight, I need to teach it to Steve, my mate who's still got his oven in.
Yeah, Steve the oven.
Yeah.
And Jody, my other mate.
Yeah.
So if I teach this to them,
and you've got to shake their hands and say, you've got to make sure you teach 2 of your mates.
I don't know if they want to shake my hands. Like, I've got fingers like the singing detective. It's not a good look.
Well, you just get a great
put some gloves on.
Yeah, all right.
Well, and then they teach a couple of people, and so on and so on and so forth, and then there's a massive chain.
Yeah, I know it's romantic, but I think what we prove is that if everyone just taught 2 or 3 or 4 of their mates a couple of dishes, right, which basically, by the way, if you think about people doing the marathon and all that, that's quite a big job. If you go around your mate's house, have a couple of drink-ups and do a spaghetti bolognese,
it's not difficult.
And get them to promise to pass it on to 2 of their mates. Basically, what I'm saying is this country could be in a better place in 5 years, or even a year, actually. But also, you'll see in the next programmes, I mean, we talk to sort of doctors and stuff in hospitals around the country, and you know, at the moment, they're under a lot of pressure. Our National Health Service is, I think, it's obviously very precious, but, you know, I think this could help.
One thing at a time. Don't go and save the NHS yet.
Well, it's all connected, you see.
Well, you know, you've got to...
68% of people in hospital are there for some form of diet-related reason. So the fact that we look after ourselves and, you know, can make a massive difference to taking off the pressure off the National Health.
Dave, do you think, right... Like in the same way, you know, following the different career changes, the people like Ronald Reagan and Arnold Schwarzenegger, do you think that one day Jamie Oliver will be mayor of London?
I think there could be a future in politics.
Listen, I actually remember hearing you say that about 3 years ago, and you said no.
we changed our mind now.
I remember listening to it.
Well, you know, if
we'd have never said
when I got my MBE. That's when I got my MBE, and it was in the paper. And I remember you saying, "Go on, Bennett," you said exactly that.
We'd have never said no if you were sat next to us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We'd always say yes.
Doesn't work like that.
Well, listen, you know, we've got Boris now. So we've got Boris. And New York has Mike Bloomberg, the most incredible pioneering businessman in the world. And we've got Boris. Let's see what he can do. It's interesting times.
I think you and Boris would make a good double act. yes, lovely, lovely.
Well, we're trying to work with Boris to do a few little initiatives.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can cook.
Have you had him on the show yet?
No. No, but why we more than welcome. Wonderful person, big man and hair and fingers like fish fingers attached to a very plain beef burger.
Well, I think
I don't know where it's going either. All right, look, watch the show on Tuesday. It's on tomorrow night at 9 o'clock, and then go and buy the book and go on his website and keep ploughing more.
Pass it on,
Jamie Oliver Fund of motorbikes. do you still have a little scooter?
I have. I've just for the first time in 6-7 years, I've just got a scooter.
Right,
little 50-seat. They're so cheap now.
Mm.
800 quid, brand new, off the internet, delivered. Full of petrol, MOT, 800 quid, and it looks lovely.
And do you still play the drums?
At the weekends, but right. My thing is, my kids don't like me doing things for myself. I've got to do stuff. So basically, my weekends are me dressed up in pink on trampolines doing ballet stuff. Really, it's all very feminine at home.
And then you spend time with the kids after that.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Daddy, come on, yeah, get off the trampoline and come and play with us.
Yeah,
I want to go.
Give our love to Jules.
I will.
And the family.
Thank you.
Jamie Oliver.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Tonight. Right. Hey, just had
that's amazing.
Just had a text from Vernon Kay.
Hmm.
Right. And he says that we and Jamie should all buy a pub together.
That's brilliant.
Yeah,
that's
that.
A great idea.
Yeah. So you do the food side.
Yeah.
And we do the beer.
The beer side. Yeah. And Vernon does entertainment.
Vernon should do
karaoke.
So we need an old pub.
Brilliant.
There's that the Falcon in Camden. That's what we want. Do you remember? With old gig venue.
Is that for sale?
I don't know. But
I've been there. It's got a big nice outside bit.
You're going.
Should we buy it?
Yeah, let's get it.
How much would it be to?
I don't know.
How much is like to set up your restaurant? Roughly, how much money do you need?
Well, you have to obviously rent or buy the property.
Roughly, give me a ballpark.
You could do it for 150 grand. You could do it for
150 grand.
Yeah,
I'll stuff that. I tell you what, how about this? Vernon buys a pub.
And we go to it.
And we... Where?
Yeah, and we put the karaoke on or something.
There you go.
Lovely.
Guys, that'll be the Channel 4
what
next
would we call
year.
It? What would we call it?
Oh, the pub. Coming soon to Channel 4 plus one.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on. Dave is down the cellar.